Lee Carsley has been named, although I'm not sure.
He's not coming now, is he?
Well, that's the thing. Or Big Sam is the other one.
It's always Big Sam, isn't it?
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Now, David Gillick is joining us on OTB AM this morning to launch the European Week of Sport 2021 in partnership with Sport Ireland. European Week of Sport is a week-long celebration of sport which promotes physical activity in people of all ages, background or fitness levels. Sport Ireland is calling on you and your family to get out, and the hashtag is BeActive between the 23rd and the 30th of September. And who knows, this may be the start of a newfound love for sport. For more information and to find an event near you, go to sportireland.ie/European Week of Sport.
David, good morning to you. How are things?
Hey, lads. How are you? You well?
Yeah, good. I just wanted to pick up here at the top because I saw you bemoaning the lack of success coming Dublin GAA's way over the last little while on Twitter. What's it been like to suffer such
Finally.
Pain this summer?
Yeah, like I brought Oscar, my five-year-old, to Croke Park for the first time. Dublin played Mayo and they were beaten. And then we went in on Sunday to watch the women up against Meath and they were beaten. So, it's zero from two for Oscar. But yeah, look, I suppose it's a changing of the guard in many ways. I remember the lean years standing on the hill where we couldn't even win the toss, you know. So hopefully they'll come around again. A lot of changes of personnel, particularly on the men's side, you know. People kind of at the twilight years of their career, maybe. Changing of the guard. And yeah, it's kind of something that we're not really kind of used to over the last number of years. But like I said, it's an opportunity maybe to redress, refresh, and then go again.
Are you still playing a bit yourself?
No, I unfortunately ruptured my pec about 2 years ago, and I had to have surgery on it early of this year. So I haven't kicked the ball since, you know. So I don't know. Like, it's one of these things. My local club, Ballantyre, my brothers are involved in it. So you're never, it's very hard to retire from GAA at club level, you know. So there's about five adult teams up there as well. So they're probably finding somewhere for me.
They just keep coming back. The brothers will keep texting you. Standing goals there, David.
I'm telling you.
Tell me, are your kids going to be athletes? Are they going to be GAA players? Have you thought that far ahead, or have you started to think about participation yet and what kind of the future of their sporting life might hold?
You know what? Like, it's a really interesting question because, like, as I said, Oscar's five, Olivia's three, and then we've got little Louis who's only 5 months. And, you know, Oscar's now getting involved in the local academies. And I think, you know, I just look back to kind of what my parents did and just threw us all into, like, as many different sports as we could kind of do. So he's involved in the GAA Academy. He's involved in Bradford Rovers Soccer Academy. And next I'll probably throw him into maybe Little Athletics, obviously with my own athletic background. So it's kind of more just like, if he's enjoying it, we're lucky because he's got cousins the same age in the same area. So they're all kind of getting involved and it's just a big fun thing. And like, he got a great kick out of going to Croke Park, and we're heading to the Aviva tonight. I know it's a school night, but, you know, we're bringing them in there. Olivia came into Croke Park as well there on Sunday. And it's more just, you know, if they can get involved. Like, Oscar's mad into football right now and he wants jerseys. You know, this is the latest and greatest thing, jerseys. And, you know, if you get him a jersey and he gets involved and he wears it going training, well, like, you know, at least he's happy and he's enjoying it. So, again, from my own background, I think the more sport you can put your kids into, the better for long-term development and stuff like that, you know. But right now, it's just more about fun, and if I can tire him out for a little bit, well, then I might get an easier afternoon.
How do you feel about competition and striving to be elite?
Yeah, like, it's one of these things. Sometimes I kind of feel, you know, because of my own background, that do I put pressure on him, and am I kind of like, am I pushing him into things that maybe that I would have liked to do? And I'm very conscious of that. And again, when I turn up, sometimes, you know, people might go, "Oh, like, you've got an athletic background, will you coach?" And particularly like with Oscar and Olivia, I don't always want to be their coach in the sports. I want to be kind of a little bit behind and let them just get involved and do it for themselves. And I think, you know, the whole kind of eliteness, yeah, I do look at kind of sport and I kind of go, okay, well, like, if they are talented, you know, at a sport, if I could pick a sport, like, I'd love it to be a sport that maybe they could travel the world and, you know, make a living from it and secure themselves if they were very talented at it. But, you know, right now, I don't even think about kind of the eliteness side of it. It's more just trying to get them out and keep them engaged and keep that fun element to it, you know. Like, the elite and kind of high performance side will come, but you know, right now as a parent, it's just solely about like just getting them involved.
So you wouldn't put them off if they were interested in elite and high performance, and just because you know it was obviously it wasn't a straightforward line with you in your career. There was definitely downsides to being, particularly in an individual sport.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Like it's, you know, I think when I started, you know, I never thought about, I dreamt about the Olympics and, you know, world champs and stuff like that. It's the stuff that I watched on TV, but I never really kind of focused too hard on it, particularly through my kind of early teenage years. And it was only, like I was 19 when I decided, right, I want to give athletics a crack. I was still playing GA, I was playing soccer till I was 16. So, you know, it wasn't as if I just solely focused on the one sport early. And that's the one thing I would try and do is keep them in sport for as, like numerous sports for as long as possible, because I think it gives you a better grounding and obviously kind of development. But, you know, I think that will come. I don't think that early specialization really kind of works. So again, in my kind of perspective, it was very much you just enjoying it. And I think that's the big thing that keeps kids and keeps anyone involved in sport is once you're enjoying it. And I think the eliteness will come in time. You know, once they're progressing and that motivation will come from that, and they're going through the teams and they're playing them for the top team, whatever that is, you know, well, then it'll breed itself. And I think it's just try to support that as best you can. But I don't think right now I'm kind of looking at Oscar going, right, he's going to be a double midfielder, he's going to be up front for Ireland. Like, it's very much just get out there and run around.
Again. Make him a striker. If you can, make him a striker. We could do with somebody to score some goals.
We could, definitely, yeah. But if he's like his dad, now, I wasn't great, you know, up front. But I had a bit of pace, but I couldn't finish my dinner, as they say.
The post-mortem from an athletics perspective for the Olympic Games obviously is underway. I presume there's a huge amount of conversations being had in Athletics Ireland about what they've learned and what they haven't learned. What as somebody who is trackside, what are your takeaways from the Olympic Games? How well did we do, and what do we need to improve on?
Yeah, like it's such a broad question, if I'm honest. And I think, you know, like it was mixed. I'd say it was mixed. Like, it wasn't doom and gloom. Like, we did have good performances there. We had a lot of youth in that team that probably benefited from the extra year in order to hit qualification and quota marks. And they kind of went, and you would have looked from those athletes, particularly say all the women in the 800. You had Flanagan from up north who ran very well. Like, they're all very young. And I think when you get that exposure to a global championships, it was fantastic. Obviously in the Olympic Games. I think, you know, some of our stars we would have really liked maybe to get into a final, Kieran McGean, Tom Barr. But, you know, no discredit to them. They performed well. Like Tom didn't run too bad. It was just he didn't make the final. His event is really stacked. Kieran unfortunately got injured, you know, right at the wrong time just before an Olympic Games. So I think you have to factor that in, and you have to also manage your own expectations. I do think sometimes the Olympics comes around and it's like, oh, can we get a medal? We're not quite there yet. So I think our expectations have to be managed. But you're always looking at ways to improve. And you do kind of look, and we talked about high performance. And, you know, from being around athletics, like, you know, if I'm honest, I don't see a whole lot has changed since my time there. I think we need to make some changes in and around how we kind of support or structure our athletes and also their coaches. I think that's one of the fundamental things. And I know there's good people in Athletics Ireland that are trying to do these things. It just takes time and it takes resources. And I think, you know, from my learnings, there's a huge kind of probably confusion around what high performance is. And I think some people are bogged down in paperwork as opposed to maybe being out on the ground a little bit more and trying to kind of, you know, bring things together. And I mean that by bringing it together, by not literally employing, let's say, a sprints coach and expecting every sprinter in the country to relocate. I don't think that would really work in this country. It's trying to kind of maybe bring someone in that can coordinate and support our current coaches, because we do have very, very good coaches who are out there on a voluntary basis supporting all those athletes and helping them kind of achieve their dreams. But it's trying to kind of use those resources that maybe we need to be put into place and support them from afar, and then kind of build that culture a little bit. But, you know, like, we always, like, I just hope that there is a little bit of a debrief and there is people kind of looking at, right, what can we do? Can we make some changes and see what happens? Like, that's all I'd ask for from a fan of the sport.
Who should do that? Like, is that a Sport Ireland? Is that a Olympic Council of Ireland? If actually they're, I mean, I know they've, sorry, the Olympic Federation. Yes, sorry, old habits die hard. It's like, I know I know they're not really supposed to be involved in the administration of the sport at all, but is it something that they could, you know,
there's ways and means. I think, like, you know, the OFI as it is now is a lot more proactive and a lot more athlete centred, and you know, there is funding that comes from, say, the International Olympic Council through solidarity funding, and that can filter its way down to athletes and indeed individual sports. So that's one kind of, maybe there's an area there where there could be funding available. Sport Ireland, again, is looking at that high performance pot of cash and trying to kind of, you know, get as much of that as possible, because if we can do that, well, then that will filter into the high performance unit within Athletics Ireland. And that's where the changes and the resources can be kind of implemented, and that costs money. So when you talk about personnel, obviously wages, salaries, that costs money. Time. So again, if let's say there's a lot of administrative work in relation to kind of high performance, well, then someone may be brought in to kind of look after that element. Whereas if you have someone who's maybe on the ground a little bit more, well, then it could free up. So it does. It comes back down to the implementation would be definitely from Athletics Ireland point of view, but the funding would come from, say, Sport Ireland, maybe the OFI, or else you're looking at kind of sponsorship and things like that. But, yeah, you know, I do think, like, you know, we can look at it and look back and go, okay, we didn't get any medals. But, you know, it's almost like, you know, when we were hearing Stephen Kenny talk about the youth coming through. You know, I do think right now in athletics, we do have a fantastic crop of juniors and youth athletes coming through. And it's trying to kind of put a structure in place that we can really maximise that, because that's a huge challenge in all sport, is that drop-off between junior and into senior. And if we can just try and really kind of implement a good system in there where we're giving the athletes and the coaches the best opportunity to transition, because that's our Paris 24, that's our LA, and that's our Brisbane. You know, that's what we're looking at. And we've an opportunity now, and it's only a 3-year turnaround to Paris, so it is pretty important that we start making some waves now. But there is talent there, and there is talented coaches, and it's just trying to, you know, really work to bring that all together.
Having said all that, like, in retrospect, does it make any sense that Rashida Adeleke didn't go to the Olympic Games?
Look, I'll be honest, like, unfortunately for Rashida, she didn't hit the individual qualification, so she couldn't be sent as an individual. And one of the reasons was she was running so well in the States, the NCAAs, but there was not enough points in those classification of meets to get her higher up the world rankings. And then she missed the individual standard by 0.1 of a second, so she was very close over 200 metres. Then you're looking at the relay, the 4x400. And no disrespect to, say, the other athletes that did get selected, I would have selected her. For the sole reason of, like, she was young, she's very talented, she's ran well over 400. She may not have ran in Tokyo, but it's that experience. And I think coming off the NCAAs, where she's done very, very well, her first year in the University of Texas, huge lifestyle change, done very well. I would have put her in there just for that sheer experience, because she is our future. And, you know, I don't want to kind of label her and stuff like that, but I've watched her run, I've watched her come up through the ranks, and she has got skills. And it's trying to prepare herself to go to maybe Paris or even beyond and challenge. And that's what we want. So, yeah, I would have sent her for the sheer kind of experience. She may not have ran over there, because I think, you know, the likes of Sophie Becker, Phil Healy were running better over the course of the season. But definitely, I think I probably would have put on the plane.
Yeah. All right, David, great stuff as ever. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
David Gillick giving us some thoughts there. And obviously that is something that everybody should get involved in. sportireland.ie/European Week of Sport. It is from the 23rd to the 30th of September. And the hashtag is BeActive.